Amen indeed. Amen. Let's pray together. Well, Father God, as we sing those words, we sing them coming from all kinds of different places, God. And that's why that song is so amazing. We sing it as well when we are struggling. We sing it as well when we are on the mountaintop, when life is incredible and when things are going well. And Father God, regardless of where we are in those places, God, we say it is well. Because you are God. It is well because you love us. It is well because you died for us. And we can face anything because you are with us. And Father, we do look forward to that day where the clouds are rolled back as a scroll and the trump resounds and the Lord descends. God, it is going to be amazing. But until that day, it is well. We are here with you. We worship you. We celebrate who you are and what you've done. Father God, now as we dig into your word this morning, we just pray that you would lead and guide us, God, that you would open our hearts and our minds to hear from you this morning, that we would be challenged, that we would be drawn closer to you, that we would be able to say it is well with more and more confidence, God, as you show yourself faithful. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you, worship team. That was amazing this morning. You sounded amazing as well, the choir here. It was really special to be able to stand at the front here and just listen to you sing. It is wonderful when we do that together. Well, we've spent the last few weeks exploring the disciplines of the church on mission, things like communion and reconciliation and being with the least of these and prayer. And we spent that series kind of looking at what it looks like for us to be on mission of God, on mission with God. What kinds of things do we need to be about? And I hope you were challenged, as I was, to kind of dig deeper into those things that God desires for us. I challenged you last week to kind of maybe look back through what those disciplines were and maybe pick one. What does God pray about it? What is God calling you to dig deeper into in your life? What discipline do you need to cultivate? Does God need to cultivate in you so that you can be on mission with him more and more? And we want to try to follow him and serve together. And it was a great reminder. It was a great challenge, that series. And we wrapped that up last week. And so this week, we're going to be beginning our new summer series. The series we're going to be looking at through July and August here. And it's called Speak. Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. And we want to explore together the music and the poetry that we use for worship. We want to understand what it is we're singing about, what these words are that we sing together. We want to learn from and be challenged by the words of our psalms and the songs that we sing. And we've been inspired by a passage in Ephesians chapter 5. And this is a letter that Paul wrote to the church in Ephesus, and this whole letter is about unity in the church and unity in our worship, worshiping together, being the church together. And he's encouraging this new church thing that was only a few years old at the time. He wants them to pursue Jesus together, to follow Jesus together. And in this letter, he writes this verse that is inspiring us this summer, Ephesians chapter 5, verses 19 and 20. And he leads into it with all kinds of lifestyle things and be holy and pursue God. And then in verses 19 and 20, he says, speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs in the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Speak to one another in psalms, hymns, and songs in the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord and give thanks. It's a call to worship together, to sing together. Our lives are about worship. That's what we were created to do. So often we hear it said that following Jesus or being a Christian or life itself is about serving God. It's about service. And that following Jesus is about serving him. It's about what we do. But it's not true. In John chapter 15, Jesus himself tells us that we are not called servants anymore. We are called friends. Our life is not about serving, but about worship. Glorifying God and enjoying him forever, as the Westminster Catechism so eloquently puts it. In that worship, we will serve. That's part of it. We will partner with God in his mission to seek others and care for others and care for one another. That's all part of our worship. But we aren't meant to be slaves or servants. We are worshipers, created to worship, to sing, to speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, to give thanks. So that's what we want to look at this summer. That's what we're going to talk about. What are we talking about when we speak to each other? What are we singing about when we sing together? Our words matter. We want to get them from Scripture. Each week we're going to be looking at a different psalm or hymn or worship song, and we want to be encouraged to worship together as we dig into those words together. Dig into what is said there. We want to be challenged that it's not just about Sunday morning. It's not just about getting together here and singing. But our words to one another should always be words of worship. It should always be words of thanks, words of encouragement, inspired by God's word. And what we sing and talk about here, it should flow into our week, into our everyday lives. Each week is going to be a little bit different as a result of that. But I hope that you're able to see the beauty in the different songs that we sing. Some of them you prefer and some of them you might not prefer, but I hope you can see the words that we sing matter, and that so many of them are pulled directly from Scripture. And the Psalms and the Scripture that inspire them. This week, we're going to start this series with my very favorite psalm. And I have been getting a lot of flack up here over the last few weeks for that. But come on, it's God's word, people. He gave it to us and it matters. It is exciting. It's all incredible. Even the genealogies and the long, boring bits, every piece of it matters. Every piece of it is exciting. But this psalm really is my favorite one. Until next week, and that one will be. But this is a psalm that King David wrote. The psalms are written by all kinds of different people. They're not all written by David. There was as many as 50 or 60 different authors, depending how you count it. But lots of them, a big chunk of them, were written by King David. And the psalm I want to look at this morning is Psalm 19, a psalm written by King David. And he expresses in this psalm just the incredible wonder and power of the world and the word, of space and Scripture, of nature and knowledge, that God is revealed in everything. Psalm 19, let's read it together this morning as we begin. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they reveal knowledge. They have no speech. They use no words. No sound is heard from them. Yet their voice goes out into all the earth. Their words to the ends of the world. In the heavens, God has pitched a tent for the sun. It is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, like a champion rejoicing to run his course. It rises at one end of the heavens and makes its circuit to the other. Nothing is deprived of its warmth. The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The decrees of the Lord are firm, and all of them are righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the honeycomb. By them your servant is warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. But who can discern their own errors? Forgive my hidden faults. Keep your servant also from willful sins. May they not rule over me. Then I will be blameless, innocent of great transgression. May these words of my mouth and this meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. I love this psalm so much. It captures just how wonderful and amazing and powerful God is in what he has created, what we live in and get to experience every day. We call it normal life, but what is happening around us all the time is mind-boggling. It's incredible. The stars and the sun and the world around us all speak to the power and majesty and love of God. Just how incredible it is that he didn't just leave us to wonder at these things, but then he gave us his word, the roadmap to relationship with him. It's incredible. This psalm really speaks to me because this is going to come as a shock to a lot of you, but I am a huge nerd, and I always have been. And I love science and math and exploring and discovering this incredible reality all around us. I think life and the world and universe is just magnificent. And I'm constantly overwhelmed by what God has created. I think the life is incredible. I think the universe is incredible. It's so exciting to me. And in every direction I look, there is something incredible happening around us all the time. Space and nature and biology and technology and physics and chemistry have always fascinated me, because it just screams the power and the reality of God. I was talking with the junior high girls just a couple of weeks ago that I am convinced that the language of God is math. And that's going to drive all of us insane, because how many of us like math? But the entire universe can be understood and described with math. He's given us these other languages, and we understand him in Hebrew and Greek, and we translate it into English and different things. But the language that God created everything in is math. It's wild. And we can understand it, kind of. We've been able to put these incredible, you've seen the pictures of the giant chalkboards with numbers and letters on them. Who thought that up? But these incredible equations that describe reality, describe what God did. It's amazing. Something unbelievably powerful and intelligent created our universe and everything in it. A universe we can live in, and even more, a universe we can understand, kind of, as small and finite and broken as we are. And that's mind-boggling to me. It's exciting. I got a telescope a little while ago. I've always wanted one. I grew up on the farm, and it would have been amazing to have a telescope out there in the darkness and the blackness, and I never got one. I don't know why I waited so long. But I finally bought one a couple of years ago, and I've always loved seeing these incredible images of the different planets and stars and galaxies and nebula that the Hubble and Kepler telescopes take. It's incredible what we're able to see. It's wondrous, and I've always wanted to be able to look myself and see it for myself, these amazing things. And when you understand how impossible it is for us to be able to see anything, the Milky Way galaxy is the spiral galaxy, and we're kind of out on the edge just in the right spot. And if we were a little bit further inside our galaxy, all we'd see is just fog. We wouldn't be able to see anything. And if we were a little further out, some of the ways that light bends and things, we wouldn't be able to see nearly as far as we do. We're in this weird spot, or maybe perfect spot, where we can see hundreds of and hundreds of light years, thousands, millions of light years away. And so I've always wanted to be able to be a part of that. And again, these pictures are incredible and wild, but I always wanted to see it for myself. And I can't even begin to tell you what I felt the first time I set up my telescope and I pointed it at Saturn and Jupiter, and I was speechless. I've seen pictures before. I've seen them with way better detail and resolution than I'm able to get with my cheap little telescope. But to be able to see it with my own eyes, to see it hanging out there in space so far away, it took my breath away. First time I saw Jupiter for myself, I had to look up just how far away it is. It's 588 million kilometers away. And there it was, just hanging there in space. A dot. It's flying around the sun at speeds I can't imagine, and there it was in my telescope. And only then for a few seconds. Just a couple of nights ago, I pulled out my telescope and I saw probably the most clear and perfect image I've ever seen. I don't know what inspired me. It was just a really warm night, and I suddenly thought, I'm going to get my telescope out. And it was the best pictures I've ever seen of Jupiter. And at first, I thought I had a little bit of dust or specks on my lens or something because there were these weird dots around it. And I got my bigger lens so I could get a little bit closer in. And all of a sudden, I realized those were the moons of Jupiter surrounding it, floating there in space, 588 million kilometers away. I could see Jupiter, the colors, the lines across it, and four moons orbiting the planet half a billion kilometers away, floating in space, screaming around the sun at speeds I can't understand. I can look at the moon, obviously, 400,000 kilometers away. You can take all the other planets in our solar system and line them up between the Earth and the moon, and there's room to spare. And the detail is incredible. I can see mountains and craters and the shadow of the Earth passing over it. And in a few seconds, it's out of view again. I can see Saturn. I could clearly see the other night the incredible rings around it. 1.2 billion kilometers away. Hanging there in space, its rings supported by nothing, floating for a few seconds, and then it's gone again. Because it all keeps flying out of frame. The Earth is spinning at 1,670 kilometers per hour, 1,600 kilometers an hour. And we're flying around the sun at 108,000 kilometers an hour, 30 kilometers per second. And the sun is moving too. It's not stationary. It's flying around the center of our galaxy at 900,000 kilometers an hour. And our whole galaxy is hurtling through space at over 1 million kilometers an hour. Light itself travels 300,000 kilometers per second. And the Earth is 150 million kilometers from the sun. It takes light from the sun over 8 minutes to reach the Earth. We see the sun 8 minutes in the past. The universe is huge. One of my favorite stars is called Betelgeuse. I think the name is really fun. And I told you, I'm a nerd. Who has a favorite star, right? If I had to ask you, you'd all probably say Proxima Centauri. Right, of course. Everyone wants that one. But Betelgeuse is cool. It's this red dot in the Orion constellation. And it's one of the brightest stars in the sky. It's the ninth brightest star in the sky. And it's one of the first things I tried to look at with my telescope. Betelgeuse is 2,000 times bigger than our sun. And it is 652 light years away. So light, traveling 300,000 kilometers a second, that's going around the Earth 7.5 times in 1 second. Takes 652 years to get here from Betelgeuse. We are seeing Betelgeuse as it was 652 years ago. And if you were there, you would see the Earth as it was 652 years ago. What were you doing 652 years ago? I don't remember myself. You can see it with your naked eye. Clearly. It's so big that if you replaced our sun with it, not only would Earth be inside it, Jupiter, 588 million kilometers away, would be inside it. It's bigger than half our solar system. Scale boggles my mind. The size of these stars and galaxies, the number, the distance, just how fast everything is moving. We can't understand. There are over 100 billion stars in the Milky Way galaxy alone. And as far as we can tell, our best estimates are that there are over 100 billion galaxies in our universe. In 2012, they took the Hubble telescope and they pointed it at just a pinhead piece of sky that was pure black. There was nothing there. And they pointed it there for 23 days and left the exposure open. And in this pinprick piece of sky, they found over 5,000 galaxies. Galaxies, each with hundreds of billions of stars. We can't even begin to understand those numbers. It's been estimated that there are more stars in the universe than there are grains of sand on Earth. You think of all the beaches and all the desert in all the world. There are more stars in the universe than that. But there are more atoms in one grain of sand than there are stars in the universe. And God spoke it all into existence. He said, "Let there be." And it was. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. That is what David captures in just a few words in this psalm. And he didn't have any idea what he was describing. He couldn't have. He saw lights in the sky. He didn't know about planets and galaxies and Jupiter and Betelgeuse. They have no speech, he says. They use no words, yet their voice goes out into all the earth. Amazing. But even more so is not what God did, but what he has said. All this creation is incredible and awe-inspiring, but that's not where David ends. Instead, he moves to the Word of God, where we find true life. The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. Creation inspires us. God's power and majesty and intelligence is overwhelming, but far more is the fact that he speaks. And that he knows every detail about every one of his creations. These hundreds of billions of stars and planets and galaxies, these thousands of galaxies that we find in empty space, God knows them. He's named them. Everyone. Every atom. Every galaxy. Every star. Every planet. On earth, every plant and tree and creature here, every person, every moment, every thought, every dream, every fear of yours, of mine, of ours, is known by him, is cared about by him. Amazing. Our God is incredible. He made everything. He made us, but far more, he wants to know us. He wants us to know him. All this scale and size and incredible numbers of all these things can make us feel very small, but it shouldn't. Because for some reason, with all of that, all of these things that we can't scarcely understand, somehow we are fundamentally different than all of it, made in his image to be in relationship with him. Somehow, with all that he's created, we matter. You matter to him. With all of that, the wonder and majesty of the universe, the mystery and power of the word, David ends with that reality. He ends with the most incredible sentence. It's so simple, so humble, so perfect. Your creation overwhelms me, he says. Your word is everything, he says. And so, may these words of my mouth and this meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Somewhere, somehow, in and through and over and above and before and after all this, all these planets and stars and galaxies we cannot fathom, there is a being so powerful, so unknowable, that it spoke and everything came to be, and it knows your name. He knows your name. Let's pray together. Father God, you are good. We don't have words to describe you in any way that is appropriate, God, because you are so much bigger, so much greater, so much more powerful than we can begin to express. You are love, you are life, you are all-powerful, all-knowing. You created everything. All of this incredible, wonderful, unbelievable universe is created by you, and you know every single piece of it, every single corner of every single planet and every single galaxy everywhere. And yet you've chosen to give us the time of day. You've chosen to be in relationship with us. With all of that incredible, wonderful creation out there, you want us. Father, we could not be less deserving, but God, we are grateful. We choose selfishness somehow in light of all that you are. We choose ourselves over you, and God, we are grateful that you forgive us. We are grateful that you are patient. And Father, as we journey through this incredible life on this crazy planet flying through space together, you are with us. You draw us together that we can be one as you are one. and we can be with you and worship you and enjoy that forever. Father, we thank you. We are humbled. Forgive us when we choose selfishness. Forgive us when we lose sight of who you are, of what you are. And draw us back gently to worship. Amen.